Woo! It's good to be home. It is just good to be home. Hey, is it really? Well, that's a blessing right there. When the people are glad, huh? I'm going to be nice, Glenda. I'm going to be nice because I'll tell you, there's nothing more satisfying or refreshing, if that's even the words that I'm looking for, than to know that we can go away, clear across the country. My phone did not ring off the hook. And I didn't worry about God's word that come across this pulpit, because those of you that God used to share His word in my absence, God blessed it. It was anointed. I loved it. I was grateful for it. I didn't get to see it all, but I know that God is pleased with the way the events have turned out. Amen. Like I said, our vacation was not the typical kind of a vacation. In fact, in a lot of ways, it was a ministry trip. It was a working vacation, ministering to people. God did some very healing things through this vacation in my life, especially, and in Tammy's life, and so God, you know, the appearances that we just took off and drove across the country and it was just all fun and games. That was not the case. So we're going to leave again next week. No, I'm just kidding. For the fun and games aspect of it all. Woo! It's good. It's really good to be back home, for sure. We killed a lot of bugs. Let me just say that. We saw a lot of bugs. We saw, listen, the shelves aren't going to run dry for lack of corn. Let me just say that. There's corn being grown in America. America is growing corn. We left Wisconsin and drove to Colorado and never got out of corn. Am I telling the truth? From Wisconsin to Colorado is corn. Some soybeans mixed in, some alfalfa in other, but literally corn all the way. Corn from South Dakota all the way to Wisconsin. Crazy. There's a lot of corn being grown right now in America. We're a corny nation. That was stupid. That was bad. That was a dad joke. That was corny, wasn't it? On an extremely serious note, I've got 20 minutes to go through the review and what God wants to share with us tonight. I've almost forgotten how to preach or how to teach, so you just got to bear with me. But I want us to be reminded tonight that we've been looking at the blessings of God on His worshipers. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure you do because I've said it before. But you were created to worship God. You are created to give glory and to praise God. That's why you were created, for fellowship with God. And so, God's desire is to answer the prayers of those who pray unto Him with sincere faith. And I asked you this question earlier about, you know, that you would remember that I have said multiple times that I desire to be the pastor that you think I am. And part of that is that if we're going to be who God wants us to be, then we have to yield ourselves. We have to open ourselves up and say, God, if there's any mess in my life, if there's things in my life that are unpleasing to you, God, would you by your Spirit take them out? Would you begin to reveal to me, Lord, the things that are in my life that are not pleasing to you? And guess what's going to happen? He'll begin to do that. And when he does do that, it's up to you to deal with it. Whether you want to deal with it or not. Whether it's comfortable for you or not. Because I'm telling you, when you're in the fire, it's not going to be comfortable. But my desire and Tammy's desire is to be the pastors that God would have us be. To set the example of love and of nurturing and of compassion and of concern. All those kinds of things. But in order for us to do that, there's areas in our lives. I got news for you. I'm going to guess that there's areas in your life that God wants to deal with. And God's desire is for you and I to be the sanctuary that we sang about tonight. I want my life to be that place where Jesus can come by His Holy Spirit and just knock on the door and I don't have to worry about what I'm doing, what I'm thinking. Just come on in, Lord. Just come on in. Amen? That's my prayer. That's my desire. And in order for those things to happen, we've got to pray with sincere faith. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, this is review, okay? I'm not promising that I'm going to get you out of here at 7 o'clock. Okay, I'd rather do what the Lord wants than keep a clock. Amen? And so in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, God's going to answer our prayers, but not as a result of your positive mental attitude. I want to go real quickly through a list of things, conditions that God put in His Word in your life and my life that are going to have to be met if you want your prayers to be answered. Because remember, church, we're not talking about name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Number one, if you want your prayers answered, you must be a believer. So what did I just say? It's a loaded question, I promise you. You must be a believer. Well, what's a believer?
A believer is one who trusts in God.
Yep. Most people would say a believer is somebody that has believed in God and given his life to the Lord and so forth and so on. But beyond that, what does it mean to be a believer? It means to be a believer, it means that when you ask for something and when you pray, you've got to have some level of belief, some assurance, some faith that no matter what, God is going to answer my prayer. It might not be the answer I'm looking for. But He will answer your prayer. You must be a believer. God, I believe that not only are You going to answer my prayer, but Lord, in the process of answering my prayer, You know what is best for me. And God, by Your Spirit, You will dictate the answers to my prayer based upon what is best for me. And Lord, I believe, I am a believer, I believe that You have my best interests in mind. Number two, you must not hold a grudge against another person. I hit a brick wall right there. Bam! It's going to be so good to be back in church. It's going to be great to be back in the pulpit doing what I believe God has called me to do. But what about this? Your pastor has held grudges It's true. It's true, and it ain't funny. It is an absolute blockage. Before we left, we had to have our bathtub drain opened because there was a blockage in it. And when the bathroom drain in the tub is blocked and the when you wash and all the mess goes down the drain, it only goes to the blockage. And then it begins to back up. And the stuff that's in there ain't nice. It's not, it's ugly. It's slimy. It stinks. You're tracking with me? I defined it good enough you can literally smell it. You can feel it between your fingers. Huh? It's that thick and it's that slimy. It's fixed now, buddy. It is fixed now. Listen, the blessings of God can't get to you and I if we have a blockage in our life. And He's calling us. I'm calling you as your pastor to search your own heart, because I've had to search mine. And I've had to have a very difficult conversation today. Because regardless of the outcome, I want to stand before God and say, I did my best to rectify situations. So I can say that I have removed the blockage in my life tonight, which I believe is why God's already flowed through me. Flowed, that's good, isn't it? Flowed? He flowed. He floated in my life and used me in this way because I've dealt with a grudge against another person. Now, when you deal with something, doesn't necessarily mean it's all completely resolved and life is butterflies and daisies and roses. But you're dealing with the situation. So you can't hold a grudge. If you're holding a grudge against somebody and you wonder why the voice of the Lord's not ringing in your ears, it's because there's blockage. There are things in your life that God's asking you and I never said it would be easy. I never said it would be fun. In fact, it will probably not be fun, and it will probably be hard. He is telling us, He's beseeching us, which is like begging. You must not hold a grudge against another person. You must not. Number three, you must not pray with selfish motives. Listen, if your desire is to advance the kingdom of God, your motives won't be self-centered. They will be heavenly centered. God, how can you use me and everything that I have to promote your kingdom? The number four, your request must be for the good of God's kingdom. To pray effectively, you and I need faith in God, not faith in the object of our request. So if we focus only on our request, then we're going to be left with nothing if the request is refused. What are you going to do when the answer to your prayer is no? God, I've got cancer. I'm asking you to heal me. And He ultimately says no. Do you have a mad on for God? What if somebody comes and says, listen, maybe you got something spiritual going on in your life, and we need to call the elders of the church, we need to call the pastor, we need to anoint you with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and cast the demons out of you that might be harassing you and so forth. And you get your tail tied in a knot, because who are you to say that I've got anything spiritually wrong with me? And we get mad at God and we turn around and walk off because somebody had the audacity to confront me in my spiritual condition. It's at least worth taking a look at. I remember you and I talked the other day about when a time at the altar, and I've shared this story before, of a time when in Coos Bay when we were dealing with a young lady at the altar, and our little pastor, Pastor Dale, who we love with all of our heart, and this gal had one of them, they called like a Boda bag, okay, full of crystals and all kind of spiritual stuff in it, and Pastor Dale just, He recognized it for what it was, and he just snatched that thing off her neck, and buddy, them demons manifested. Amen? I mean, and it was on like Donkey Kong in that place. She was mad, but we prayed and we cast the devils out of her, and that girl turned into one of the sweetest little gals you ever wanted to meet. Is that true? It's true. But she had to be confronted. And we have to understand that oftentimes when we're confronted, it's not us that's all riled up. It's just the devil in us getting riled up. And we've got to get to the place in our lives, church, where we're mature enough in the things of God to know and to recognize and look past the outburst to the soul of the person. Recognizing those things for what they are. Jesus is our example, and He prayed this. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me, nevertheless, not what I will, but Your will. Jesus Himself, and I remember 2.5 weeks ago when I left the last Wednesday night Bible study, I asked you this question. Who was the most unlikely person to not get a prayer answered? And it was Jesus. God, if You can... Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my, and God did not take the cup from Him. Jesus walked through that whole thing. And you and I are here tonight trusting in the finished work of Jesus that God did not remove from Him. He walked through it. And I'm telling you right now, God by His Spirit is wanting to do something in your life. So our prayers are often motivated by our own interests and desires. We like to hear that we can have anything. We love the idea of name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. God said I could have it, so I want it. And so we start praying for this and that and the other thing. But we've messed the whole boat. Jesus prayed with God's interests in mind. How are you and I praying? When we pray, we can express our desires, but we should want His will above all of ours. And we need to check ourselves to see if our prayer focuses on our interests or on God's interest. Woo, hello. See, prayer... you're going to like this. Prayer is not an emergency measure that we can turn to when we have a problem. It's not like FEMA in the spiritual sense. Amen. Real prayer is a part of our constant communion with God and our worship of God. And by the way, we should not interpret Mark 11:24 to mean that if I pray hard enough and really, really, really believe, then God is obligated to answer my prayer no matter what. I got news for you. God's not obligated at all. That's really not even faith in God. It's nothing but faith and faith in feelings. And true faith in God is based on His Word. And His Word reveals His will to us. And do my prayers line up with the will of God? It's been well said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. Think about that for a moment. James 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. See, it's not the elders and it's not the oil that does the healing, it's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, you can pour 5 gallons of olive oil on somebody's head, and the oil ain't got anything to do with it. The oil's only a representation of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a reminder, if you will, of God, and it's an illustration of how God, by His Spirit, wants to saturate you and I. That's what the oil's for. A true prayer of faith will acknowledge God's sovereignty in His answer to that prayer. It's not always God's will to heal those who are sick or ill. We've seen that. We've seen that. We've lost loved ones. We've seen God do miracles in restorative ways in people's lives. Mary. I've been gone for 2.5 weeks. Cut me some slack, sister. Mary's got a testimony about her daughter, Jenny. I mean, she was sick. She was going out. I mean, she was dying, actively dying. And God, by His Spirit, has stepped in and brought healing in marvelous ways in her life. Liver was failing completely. It's being restored and it's working and it's doing what it's supposed to. Those are miracles of God. You ask for a miracle and you got a miracle. But what do we do when we ask for a miracle and we don't get the miracle that we want? Do we still love God no matter what? Do we still recognize that God's still God? Whether my sister, whether my daughter, whether my child, whether my mother, father, whether whoever it is gets healed or not, do I still love God if He chooses to take them home? Well, I got as far tonight as I got last time I did this. I don't know if you needed it tonight or I did. See, we got to emphasize that prayer offered is a prayer offered in faith. Not only the faith that believes that God can heal, but in fact the faith that expresses absolute confidence in God's will. God, you know above all whether I'm going to be healed or not. You know above all whether my loved one is going to be healed or not. It's been a long time, church. Let me just say it this way. It's been a long time since I've personally seen somebody miraculously healed. By the way, there's a difference between a healing and a miracle. There's a difference. They both come from God. But a miracle happens instantaneously. A healing sometimes is brought about by a process of time. Like Mary's daughter. We wanted it the day we prayed. But it didn't come that day. In fact, she kept going downhill. All these kinds of things. And we wonder. And like I said, it's been a long time since I've personally anointed somebody with oil and seen the miracle working of God instantaneously in that life. But can I tell you something? I'm not going to quit anointing people with oil, and I'm not going to quit praying the prayer of faith, because it isn't up to me. It's up to God. And I'm not changing my faith in God and what He can do just because I'm not seeing in the physical what He might be doing behind the scenes in the spiritual. And so my plea tonight, folks, is check yourself. Go from here tonight and search your heart. God, do I have aught against anybody? Well, you know what? They need to come to me. You know that? I didn't do nothing wrong, and they need to come to me. Well, let me just tell you what God said in His Word. He said, you go to them. If you're at the altar about to take communion, And the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance that there's an issue. It's not even your fault. You didn't even do it. God says, leave your gift at the altar. Go and take care of the situation and then come back and worship Him. That's what God said. He didn't say, sit there until they come to you, because you might just tip over and die before that happens. He's called us to be warriors in His army. And warriors confront things. Warriors take control, take the offensive. You and I need to make some phone calls. We need to write some letters. Well, Pastor, I hold a grudge against somebody that's already dead. How in the world am I ever going to right that wrong? You could just go home, pull out notebook paper, and you just write all that stuff down. Just write it all down. In detail. Name that person. Dear so-and-so. Blah, 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 signed. Person hungry for God. You take that and you lay your hands on it and you say, God, this is the only way that I can resolve this situation. And I pray, Lord, that somehow or another, if that person's in your presence right now, that you'd reveal to them that I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm repenting. I'm trying to right the wrong. Now, Lord, I've done all that I can do. Would you refresh me and restore me, Lord? And allow God to begin. Listen, here's what I'm learning in my own life. If we keep tearing the scab off of something, it won't heal. There has to come a point where we leave things alone and let them heal. Amen? God is working in our lives. God's working in my life. God is working in my wife's life. God is working in our life together as a husband and wife, as mom and dad, as pastors of this congregation. If you think you've got perfect pastors, you are sadly mistaken. But I know one thing. We desire to be the pastors you think we are. We want to love, encourage, exhort, edify, build up, and lead like Paul. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And that's this pastor's desire. That I would be able to walk close enough with God that I could say to you, or to you, young man, you follow me as I follow Christ. And to know that I could stand before God one day and hold my head up high and know that I didn't lead you in a wrong path. Amen? We'll try and advance on from here next week. I ain't guaranteeing nothing. Yes, sir. You sure can. Come here, though. Come here. Come here.
Hey, guys. I'm not the most Bible-spoken person in this world. But I know it. And I did a lot of churches all over the world, literally. And we have a pastor back. I saw this man start out, sort of, but I started out here too when I left. This is my own arrogance, my own stupidity. I said, no, this guy is not talking real crap for me. All right, that's straight up. Tommy, he comes here, him and Susie come here every Sunday. And Tommy got me to come back here again. Oh, it was cool, the whole bit. then I started sitting down with this men's group on Friday night. It kind of blew my twigs a little one way or the other. But then we got things in our hand about the way it was supposed to be going around the table there. All of a sudden, I had people showing up in my house. I call him Bert. Bert and Ernie. This is during the camping trip. But that's a different story. Anyway, yeah, and there's a few of the individuals here that were at that camping deal, but then most of them started showing up at this men's meeting. And we decided it was a wee thing, graced by God, that that's our square cornerstone. Pastor wasn't around. He was on vacay. But he was more on that, just that. He was on a mission. And I know this because it felt in my heart.
Yeah.
He came back blasting. And I wish I knew that was going to happen. This church is excellent. The people in it are good. The speakers that you had on were just totally excellent. I got something from Freddie. Just shut my mouth. But that didn't go very long because I got to say what I want to say anyway. But no, you know what? You are a pastor, but you're a pastor of God. Bless you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Well, no, sir. There's one thing that is not in me, and that's give up. Okay. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Lord, we will be careful to give you thanks and praise and glory and honor, God, for what you're doing in every one of our lives. God, I wish the whole church would have been here tonight to hear this word. God, to be confronted and to be challenged by your word. Lord, and I ask God tonight that this word would not be forgotten. That, Lord, maybe even we would go home and maybe tomorrow we'd listen to it again. And we'd again begin to allow God by His Spirit to begin to move in our hearts and to begin to bring things to our remembrance. That, God, you want to deal with us on some issues. And church, they're not going to be some of them easy. It's going to be hard for us to do some of these things. But I promise you, God will bless you. God will be glorified in and through it all. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Lord, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I praise you, God. Lord, I pray for the women's meeting tomorrow. I pray, God, that they wouldn't just come together as a group of women for a Bible study, but God, you will begin to knit them together as sisters with all their unique personalities. Lord, with all of that stuff, Lord, that you would knit them together. God, to be a mighty force to be reckoned with in the spiritual realm. God, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray for Friday night. I hope Friday night's just not another movie night. I pray, God, some way, somehow, somebody's life gets ministered to by the simplicity of a movie. Listen, church, it's not the method, it's the message. It's not the method, it's the message. Lord, use this movie to provoke hearts and lives, God, I pray for Sunday. I pray, God, you'd give me something hot, something refreshing, something convicting, God, something that would take your people from point A to point B and from point B to point C and on as we get closer and closer to what you have us to be, oh God. Lord, that you would be blessed, that you'd be honored, that you'd be glorified, that your body would become your body. That we would be your hands and your feet and your mouth and your ears and your eyes, God. That we would walk in your liberality and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me.
Come on.
To be a sanctuary.